Thank you.
Okay.
No
it has
problem.
started.
Oh, it has begun. Hello.
Hi.
Hello out there in internet land. This is Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions, your host with the San Carlos Computer Club, with Emily and Bibiana. Say hi, folks.
Hi.
Yo.
We've just sat down for a dinner of sourdough pizza biscuit, an odd combination of recipes that I've hobbled together into something that is precariously bad for our health.
Oh, but it's so delicious. And honestly, we need more morale in this quarantine. We've all been exhausted.
Just more pizza.
Just more pizza, yeah.
Who wants to live long anyways?
Yeah, exactly.
I want to get old. Old people are ugly anyways.
Old people are lovely.
I know. I found it was a TikTok audio. It was really funny. No, I don't care if it takes like 20, 30 years out of my life. I don't want to get old. Old people are ugly anyway.
In context, that's funny, but I don't think my computer club are TikTokers, are they?
What are the updates, y'all?
Well, this is intended to be the intro for the last meeting from May 4th.
You're really late with these intros.
But I've got everything else done except the intro. Now, if we finish the intro now, then I can go edit it together and publish everything, hopefully by tomorrow.
Yay.
Nice.
So you are the San Carlos Computer Club, and we meet every Tuesday, 10 o'clock. If that is ever to change, just check the website at sccclub.org. I'm just throwing stuff in there.
Yeah, just...
Well, we're on the iPhone 12. They iterate...
We need so many iPhones. They die in like a year anyway.
Well, they make changes like every 6 months.
I don't get it, though. Like, next, there's the iPhone 11, and then like a couple months later, iPhone 12. It's like, why do we need these iPhones? Mm. What are the three cameras for?
Well, I can answer that. They're for wide, ultralight, ride. Wide. Wide. I can answer that.
Woo! And we're going to cut all of that out. But just leave the clapping and just be like, oh, that is a great explanation.
That's
all
great.
Here's a huge beep.
That's it's for wide, ultra wide, and I think portrait.
Woo! You're keeping that in. You're keeping that in. Oh, God, me. Wide and ultra wide.
If that's a TikTok thing, they're not going to get it.
It's not a TikTok thing.
No. It's self-deprecating.
Well, that they probably understand.
I'm going to be ultra-wide after this pizza.
Well, this is Scott Stimson, your host.
This is Rihanna Stimson, the daughter. And this is Emily Stimson, the favorite child.
Each week, that's up for debate.
And each week, I win.
This has been the intro for May 4th, 2021, the San Carlos Computer Club. Until next week, tech on!
Tech on!
Tech on!
All the quirky things about the task manager, however, have been around since Windows 95.
Yeah.
And you know what you can do is with the right mouse button, click on the taskbar.
Mm-hmm.
And put a check mark next to lock all taskbars. And then it won't have the ability to change size.
Show touch keyboard button. I don't see one that says the task. Lock the taskbar.
There you go.
There you go.
If you lock the taskbar, can you add it, another icon to it? Or you have to unlock it?
No, you can still add icons to it, but what the lock will do...
It's the position and the width.
But it's,
that's right, the size of it and whether it's on the bottom or on the sides or on the top of the screen. Okay. When you lock it, it just stays in position.
And like I often have to go to my task view to... My Google Chrome keeps locking up. And not responding, and I get a whole bunch of things. But more often, I do my cleanup one.
The C cleaner.
Yeah, the C cleaner. It fixes it up pretty good. But
okay, I'm gonna go have some breakfast and be back.
All right, I'll see you guys then.
I'm beginning to suspect there's something on with the way I set up my virtual machine.
Well, Bill, what I can... What I was going to say, I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but what I can tell you is VM, that VirtualBox, sets up slick like a little application. And there's no special tweaking that you need to do to make VirtualBox work.
Okay.
So after that, you're setting up these virtual computers.
Okay. Oh, it is. And you set up your drives in the virtual computer, not in the virtual machine.
Well, it's both. Your drives need to be administered by the virtual storage manager to the virtual machines.
See, I'm still getting that drive not found or some message about the drives. You can't seem to find a drive.
When
I try to start up one of my like home assistant for a computer, I guess it's called.
Are you getting the same message after trying to set up a new VDI?
The VDI is which?
Is what you downloaded from Home Assistant as the virtual disk for VirtualBox.
I've installed a couple. Hang on, I'll start up my virtual machine. VirtualBox.
When did this problem happen? Had you stopped it to restart your computer? I guess maybe a better thing to do, instead of asking you the question, just I want to remind you that VirtualBox, the virtual machine you have, has the ability to receive a shutdown, an APCI shutdown, which should tell a sophisticated operating system that you want to power down the computer. And so when you use that function in VirtualBox, it's like pushing a soft shutdown button on your computer, and it starts the shutdown sequence if the software supports it. And in this case, it does, because I've tested it out. But because there's a shutdown sequence to the software, I'd be very careful about just crashing the machine, which is what you do if you don't shut it down correctly.
You mean if you
does that make sense?
And you're still running and you use the shutdown button for the actual computer?
Yeah, let me see. I should have... Oh, I turned it off. Let me turn it on. So on the virtual machine that you're running... There we go. I'm going to run it. It'll run in a window, right? And that window has a toolbar across the top of it.
We're talking the virtual machine now.
Right.
Okay, yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out why you'd be having a boot problem with a VDI that you downloaded from the internet. But it might be that you corrupted your boot sector in that VDI.
Well, I can reinstall the VDI. I can get rid of it.
And that's the reason I suggested it. I to set it up again, but use a new VDI that you downloaded, because maybe you damaged the one that you have. And one of the ways I would think that you would prevent damaging it would be to shut down the VDI correctly if you were going to shut it down. And so if you're looking at that VirtualBox window, the one that says Oracle VM VirtualBox, there is a menu option machine, and at the bottom of that drop-down menu is ACPI shutdown.
Where is this one?
Well, if you've got a virtual machine open, you'll be working in a window that has a toolbox, toolbar at the top.
There's one that says
machine, and that drop-down, at the bottom of that drop-down is the option ACPI shutdown.
So I just deleted my home assistant VDI.
Okay, well, you'll just have to listen to the podcast later for these instructions. No, it's just when you set it up again, make a mental note that there is a way you can shut it down. I also discovered that you can get to a Linux prompt just by typing root into your home assistant at the login prompt. No password. Which I'm not sure about the security implications of that. I haven't read an instruction yet that was talking us through this is how you set a administrative login to Home Assistant. And I'm assuming that the login that I'm sitting in front of Welcome to Home Assistant with a prompt is only available at a local console. I'm making that assumption.
Yes.
But still, even at a local console, if you can type root and get into it, it seems like a security issue.
Yeah. I got a question. I'm at the virtual box manager.
Okay.
Import or do I go new? What's the difference?
Well, what you can do, you've already got an entry for your previous VDI.
No, I took it out. I deleted it.
Oh, you deleted the whole machine?
Yes.
Okay, so you're going to set up a new machine.
Yes.
So you'd click new.
New, got it. Okay, and then we got name, home assistant.
Yeah.
All right, machine folder, VirtualBox, PC, and VMS. I'm assuming so.
I'm not walking through it right now, I'm sorry. Yeah, pick where you're going to keep your defaults, and then the type of machine, and then the version, and then next.
The type of machine is Linux. Yeah?
That's right. It should be other. It should be Linux, and then the version should be other Linux 64.
Other Linux 64. Yeah, that's what I can do. Okay. And then next.
And then set this to 2 gigs per their instruction, 2048. For the RAM, for the memory size.
Yeah.
And then at the hard drive, you want to choose use an existing virtual hard drive file, and then you want to browse to that new VDI.
So, but hang on, I'm now at the hard disk. I want to create an existing.
No.
Disk.
You want to use an existing.
Use an existing. Okay.
And then you want to hit that browse button, and you want to browse to wherever that new VDI file is. I put the VDI file, like I told you before, in a disk images folder that I use.
I think I did that. Okay.
Yeah. Because you're literally using that as your storage device. And so you don't want that. You want to maintain that, manage it. And be careful with it. Back it up, stuff like that.
Okay,
hey, Paul.
Oh yeah.
It's now I get the home assist hard disk collector. Do I just add one? Like it.
Well, yeah. You should be choosing. Oh, I'm sorry. It's not in the selector, is it? Yeah, you'd have to choose add. And then browse for where it's located. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's the virtual storage.
And I got to find where? It's just the virtual drive folder that I created?
Yeah, where you've stored that VDI file.
I think it's in there.
Paul, may the fourth be with you.
Okay. How's that?
Awesome. It's not Star Wars, but it's spacey.
Yeah, one time I was following a horse trailer, and they had a sticker on the back said, "May the horse be with you."
Ah. Funny. Mark Hamill, you know, the actor that plays Luke Skywalker in the Star Wars movies, you don't have to know that, but if you're like me, you just know that. He's a big deal on Twitter, and he's just got this really warm personality. He's just always so funny. He loves being involved with Star Wars, and he's got a huge fan base of Star Wars fans as well as Joker fans, because he's really well renowned as the voice actor for the Batman animated series.
Oh, really?
And he's really recognized, if you're a Mark Hamill fan, he's recognized for obscure movies and strange voice work, and also sword work, because Star Wars led him into using the sword for stuff, teaching people how to use the sword.
Oh yeah, the lightsaber.
So he's done this thing the last, I don't know, 10 years or so, where he's got this calendar of phrases for May 1st, for May 2nd, for May 3rd, for May 4th. He'll just go through like a whole month of Mays that he'll post on Twitter.
I've never engaged in Twitter because of a president that I thought soured it.
Yes, it's a cesspool that's slightly more decontaminated with the banning of his Twitter profile.
I guess if you don't follow him, you don't see what he says, but I don't know the mechanics of Twitter.
Yeah, you can follow and mute him, or you can choose not to follow him. The problem isn't that he's out there, it's that that these followers follow him.
And QAnon.
Yeah, I mean, I could say the same crazy stuff he says, and they wouldn't say anything because nobody's paying any attention to me. How you doing there, Bill? Did you get it running?
Oh, no, I can't figure out where I put my DVI now.
That's what I'm saying. You need to have a specific place for those disk images. They're like applications or appliances.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
Write it down in your password keeper.
Well, it should be, I mean, if you're going to do these kinds of things, it should be even more rote than that. It should be like under your profile, you should have a folder that's like disks or disk images or appliances or disk appliances, something like that, where that's where you always put it so that when you have to do one of these things, that's where you always look for it.
You know, you use the word should.
Should, yeah. I know my audience.
That's a strange word to me. I hear it, but I don't think it.
Actually, it just comes out blank. Every time somebody says it, it's just like they've been beeped.
Yeah, you should, a bad piece of the shoulds.
What is this should of which you speak?
The other one is when you're disciplining children, or in our case, when our premier or our supposed leader is speaking to us. You don't use the word don't. As soon as you give a teenager a don't, they never thought of doing what you just told them to do, and now they will.
I find most of my parenting is covering my mouth and holding back, because all I can do is make it worse.
You are a wise man. Wise beyond your years.
Scott, you don't experience any eye rolling, do you?
From two teenagers? Never. In the cadence of my children, never.
Never. or whatever, Dad.
Yeah, whatever, Dad.
Our grandchildren have got that calling somebody a boomer is extremely rude. And I didn't understand what they meant, but it has been banned from their vocabulary in their junior high school.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's wild.
To say things about their teachers being such boomers and things like that, because it is rude and it is an insult.
Not to mention, it's probably inaccurate.
Yeah, well, that too.
I mean, they ought to just be correcting the accuracy. They are in school, and the boomer generation is probably not their teacher.
No, it's your grandparents, you know.
That's right.
And I said, well, you can call me a boomer. I don't care. And their mother went, oh, please don't get them started.
No, it's become such a catchphrase, but it is highly inaccurate for my kids to be saying, okay, boomer, to me.
Yeah.
They know what generation I'm from. Of course, what's really, really difficult for me is to be treated as though I'm old when I feel so childish. I sure don't feel like an adult. All it takes is my teenagers to have sarcastic loss of ironic patience with me to to make me feel like I am the boomer that they're upset with.
Well,
now, for me, now if you'd understand them if they said, "Get with it, Dad," but that's archaic.
Yes.
Right.
My friend posted that her son had just retired. And to me, he's a teenage boy. But he's 55 and he has a right to retire. You know? But it just blew my mind. What do you mean little Timmy is?
I was talking to somebody that was about almost 10 years younger than me, and they were telling me about their grandchildren. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm not that old. I'm not old enough to have grandchildren. I'm telling this person that's 10 years younger than me.
Well, our 72-year-old friend just became a grandfather for the first time. And they're just over the moon, you know.
Yeah, I'll probably feel different when I get up to that age, but that's about the age I'd like to be a grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to be old enough that I'm not worried about the outcome of the grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. Like I can just enjoy them as I deteriorate off.
until you actually just forget who they are.
Right. And don't care. Didn't care from the beginning, didn't care at the end. Enjoyed their presence, had fun with them. Whether they go to college or not, it's none of my business. Whether they make a mark anywhere or not, it's none of my business.
Just think what kind of computers they'll be using when they grow up.
Right? I think we're very quickly reaching a point where we're not going to think about the computers they use at all, because it's going to be so integrated into everything we do. They're just going to be using the stuff we normally use. It's just going to be doing the things they need it to do. I think the Internet of Things is in its infancy, but it's going to just explode when my grandkids are around. They're just going to talk to the refrigerator and ask the calendar what's happening today, and you know, they won't even be thinking about what equipment they're using, because it's just going to be, well, maybe it'll have as much significance as the car at this moment. Like at this moment, the car to a generation like my children, they're not really all that concerned about what kind of car it is, what kind of gas mileage it gets, what year it is, what features it comes with. I think we're going into a future where, does it get me from point A to point B? Can I Bluetooth my phone to it? And that's all that matters.
Everybody will be wearing glasses with a heads-up display. Cars will have heads-up displays.
No, the heads-up will be just in your eyeball.
I really don't think we're too far away from even kids younger than mine calling up cars on their phone to get them from A to B. Do you imagine Uber for kids? Like a completely vetted section of Uber that's just intended for kids that are under 13 years old, and they've got background checks on all the drivers. And
well, no, you know, Scott. Yeah. There won't be any drivers.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. They won't need as many background checks, because they'll just be automated cars.
Yeah, and they'll just have, you know, during the pandemic, they'll have a little mask over the air vent, I suppose.
But we've seen enough of those robots take over and change personality, and the AI, you know, getting evil. So,
have you guys brought topics today?
Well, you fixed my one.
Awesome. I was thinking somebody sent me a topic. Oh, Jim's in the topic.
I found a list. I think I made these notes during the computer club, but it's not making any sense to me.
I'm kind of worried that object behind me in my picture is what's left of my planet.
Paul, which planet are you from?
The planet, I'll try to think of a good one.
Use the Luke Skywalker line: if there's a center of the galaxy, you're on the planet's farthest from it. If there's a bright center of the galaxy, that's what he says. Bright center of the galaxy, you're on the planet that's farthest from it.
Well, you know, I mean, if you look around, you feel like you're in the center of the galaxy.
Oh, this is what Jim's. Mars Colony.
Oh, I thought it was Bill Gates' divorce.
Well, that's definitely a topic. I haven't put it in the. But I'm sure we can't get through the meeting without mentioning something about it.
It just did.
It did. It's done.
It's done.
Well, I saw something yesterday on.
I don't know. It made
no,
our.
No, we're not. Not quite. There was something about Gates and Bezos getting together and being one of the biggest multi-conglomerates women in the world.
Oh, you're talking about the two women.
Yeah, the two women. I don't know what
going to be. Bezos' ex-wife. I've forgotten her
name. Melinda Gates and Bezos, right?
Two what is richest it called? Women First in the World. First Wives Club? I think it's been a movie already.
It's unfortunate we don't remember her name because through the pandemic, she's donated something like $4 billion in different directions for protection gear. And
so is Dolly Parton.
$4 billion?
Well, Parton's only millions. She's a low baller. She's in the millions.
See, that's the thing is, like, it's such an insane amount of money to think about. That what is she? She's worth something like $100 billion. So throughout the pandemic, she's been dishing out money to pay for different directions. And it accumulates to about $4 billion. And we don't really talk much about it. Look at me. I can't even remember her first name. $4 billion to help people.
Exactly.
We refer to her as Jeff Bezos' wife. That's pretty sad. She just gave $4 billion to help people.
Sad. Isn't that sad? And Bezos, what has he contributed?
Right, I don't know that number. I'm sure he has. I'm sure Amazon has done whatever they consider their corporate part in this.
Well, who's Amazon? I kept saying Tesla, but it's not Amazon.
But that's Elon Musk.
Musk, yeah. Well, Cheryl asked me who he was, and I said
the electric
Tesla.
Car.
Yeah, electric car, Tesla.
So it wasn't making any sense to me, but now that you say Amazon, I get it. So I've had adventures with Amazon. I have to go and pack up some returns, but I ordered a t-shirt and it came, and the one shoulder seam is only this long and the other one is this long. So the one sleeve hangs down quite a bit further than the other one, and it feels really strange on, but it's going back.
I had a crazy Amazon experience the other day. I offhandedly purchased something, just some basic hygiene product, and I didn't pay attention to it. I walked out of the room and took off on my day. I came back a couple hours later to look at not even my intention, just, getting caught up, looking at emails, and I look at this email like, that doesn't look right, and I get into the Amazon shopping cart, and it's going to cost 2,800 pesos for delivery of a 400 peso item. I'm like, holy crap, no, I start just flailing. What do I do to shut this whole thing down? I can't believe I authorized this. I actually, what did I end up doing? Getting a hold of Amazon for something like that always feels like a chore. I think I finally tracked it to a chat that I could do, and I chatted with somebody who looked at it, and what it was the provider of the item is the one that's doing all the shipping for it. And so you can't just cancel it on Amazon. But what you can do is you can have Amazon do the cancellation with the vendor and wait for the vendor's response. So the fact that I was jumping on it like 4 hours later, I've got Amazon directly involved in the cancellation instead of me. I couldn't figure out the automatic process. That was the other thing that had me flailing. Was that I'm looking at the order and I see the button there about canceling the order, and instead of just going, why are you canceling, it gives me this generic form letter and some attached to it, like I'm supposed to take pictures or something and attach it to it, and I'm looking at it all in Spanish going, what the hell am I supposed to do with this? I just want to cancel it. And I never did figure out how I was supposed to use that, but the guy that I was chatting with just talked to me like, oh yeah, you just need to do a cancellation with the vendor. Like I should know what that whole form process was because it's different. And yeah, he knows exactly what he's, And I assume what's going on there is I'm being allowed to add and modify and contribute whatever I want to the statement. And then the statement gets sent from Amazon to the vendor. And then you wait for a response from the vendor. And by including the guy from chat into this process, I just guaranteed that it went out and that somebody was taking care of it. I mean, at one point, he's telling me something in Spanish and I'm not getting it. I'm like, what do I need to do next? He's like, no, don't worry. You don't have to do anything next. It's going to come and it's going to say canceled. And if it doesn't come, you're going to get a hold of us again. And if it doesn't, for some reason, if it doesn't come canceled, you're going to get a hold of us again. But it's going to come canceled. I'm like, well, I hope so. I have no intention of paying $140 for a $20 product. Well, it'd be $160 at that point.
Yeah. So here's the response. Whatever, boomer.
Yeah, whatever. I guess just for peace of mind, because it did. Within 24 hours, I had 24 hours to 48 hours to get a response. And within a day, I had an email. Within moments, within 20 minutes, I had an email from the guy I was chatting with that documented the chat. And all the decisions we made and him verifying that he sent out a cancellation request to the vendor. And then within the day, within 24 hours, I had a cancellation that was some generic form letter that the vendor used Amazon to generate for me. And it says in Spanish specifically, this has been canceled. It will not be or has been returned to your card if it's been taken off your card, whatever. That boilerplate kind of map information. Now, what's still got me kind of knee-jerking is if you go into my orders from Amazon, it still says it's coming.
Oh, yeah, it'll catch up. But I had an experience, one of our first shopping things, the reason for wanting to return it meant that I had to pay the shipping. So I went back and changed the reason for why I wanted to return it, and it was fine. They would cover it. You know, so it's back in the very beginning, you have to say the right thing in order for it to go through.
Yeah. Well, in my experience, those kinds of things do catch up, but it is something that's a little distressing when you've got, but less so because I've got it all in writing. If it shows up in a box, I'd be like, look, I took care of this not being sent to me. I've got documentation of it.
Yeah.
Amazon's always been really good about fixing their mistakes with me. I've never felt like I've been left with a mistake that would leave me soured on Amazon.
Right. Yeah, in the end it gets done, but it's finding that chat. Like I was searching this morning trying to find a chat, and then I ended up solving it on my own. But, you know, their help section is not very good.
We're getting close to starting. I'm going to start getting slightly more professional on this end and shut down some of this.
Well, speaking of money, there was a comedian that said that, you know, if you're walking down the street and you see a penny on the sidewalk, not many people will pick it up. Maybe not a nickel either, you know. It gets to where it has to be like a quarter before you pick it up. So they scaled that decision-making up to Bill Gates and decided that there would have to be $14,000 on the sidewalk for him to pick it up.
What is it worth me to touch something in a pandemic on the ground, one? Number two, what is the value of the item that I am picking up to me?
Yeah, I got to say, can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm at a point, exactly that point, Cheryl. I think we would be in bills before I'm picking it up. Like it'd have to be like a $5 bill flying down the road. I'd be like, okay, I'm going after that because I can clean my hands later.
Well, the time that it really hit me was I was teaching when they made the dollar bill into a coin. And, you know, kids lose quarters, nickels, dimes all the time. Well, now they're losing dollars. And to me, it was just, it was crazy to go to a coin instead of a bill. And now we've got $2 coins. And I don't know what we're going to have soon. But three things happened when we went to coins. Your pockets wear out so quickly if you carry change in your pocket because they rub and, you know, your jeans are destroyed. You lose a larger amount when you lose something. It's just It's crazy.
That's only two.
I think it devalued money. I think it changed valuation. That's the other thing. Yeah.
Means you drown quicker if you fall in the water.
We're just getting started.
I'm waiting for the stream to get picked up.
They did that down here. They changed to what was the 20 peso coin that people were spending like they were tens.
Yeah. Yeah. All of a sudden, the 20 peso, which is to me a dollar, is more like the value of 50 cent piece. Yeah.
Right.
It devalues it, I think.
Hey, I just want to say thank you for being here with the San Carlos Computer Club on May the 4th. May the 4th be with you. From all your Star Wars fans in the San Carlos Computer Club, I've become ready for Star Wars Day. And you're probably not into animation, but this is the day they're releasing the new series, The Bad Batch, which is their new dramatized. I don't know what the age is on it because I don't care, but I'm sure it's going to be like a 7 or older or 14 or older animation about the continuation of the Clone Wars. And so I'm excited about that. A little bit of Star Wars news on Star Wars Day, which I feel is getting about as big as Christmas.
So the Bad Batch is an animation Star Wars?
It's an animation Star Wars. We've done 7 years of Clone Wars animation, and they are complex storylines that you have to not have a problem with animation. Because you have to pay close attention to the storyline. It really fills in the gaps between the Clone Wars and the Revenge of the Sith. And now the Bad Batch, I'm not certain exactly where they fit in, but they're definitely coming in after the Clone Wars. But I'm not sure if it's after Revenge of the Sith or right before Revenge of the Sith. Hey, Chester, glad to see you could join us this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Buenos dias. Well, this is the San Carlos Computer Club, and I am your interminable host, Scott Stimson, from International Computer Solutions, asking that if you have computer issues out there, give me a shot. Email remote@internationalcs.net, and I will do my best to give you help wherever you're located on the internet. And this is the San Carlos Computer Club, where we talk tech topics every Tuesday at 10 o'clock. And we have been here for almost an hour already talking BS.
Me?
Well, me and Bill, we've been working on this home assist issue. Did that VM ever spin up with you, Bill?
No, I gave up. I've been too distracted. I have to wait until this, you know, astute program is over. No, not as esteemed. This esteemed program computer thing is done. There you go.
You mean us?
I just discovered you're talking about us.
Yes, I am. Sorry for the big words. I'll go back to monosyllables for you.
Yeah, who got you a thesaurus from the discount rack?
Well, it's a brand new program. It's a thesaurus that runs on audio. You know, you just speak into it and it interprets it for you. And you can set your level, you know, like you want college educated, PhD, you know, whatever.
Sure. I mean, what Bill's really saying is it's not me, it's my internet speed.
Well, it is really you.
Well, in classic Computer Club fashion, we don't have a real agenda, but I did bring some topics I'm very interested in hearing anybody else's topics. Did other people bring some topics? Are we going to hit any specific topics other than mine today? Any questions? I do have a follow-up from earlier before. Let me get it in front of me. Only a Computer Club topic because I learned this in Computer Club, that apparently the Proud Boys Canada is dissolving. Did you guys see that?
This is true.
Jim, I think your news is bleeding over into our feet.
Hold on.
I'm going to mute you, dude. You're out of there.
The Canadian government declared them a terrorist group, and they are fighting that declaration. But in the meantime, they have dissolved their all affiliation with.
So there is no affiliation. They are the original group.
Right. Well, they are. Anybody that was a member of the initial thing is not. They are denouncing any kind of.
I'm dropping a link to this article.
They claim that they aren't a racist nationalist group, but they just say they're patriots, same as the boys in the States. Which is not true. They are a nasty bunch of people. But I claim they're just going to dissolve their thing and come up with a different name and just start all over again to get out from underneath the designation.
Get out from the bad press. You know, that's the same tactic that Eric Prince used for Blackwater when he renamed their merchant marine company, is to get out from under all that bad press.
So I just had a strange thought. How do the KKK work anymore? They're the same bunch that don't like masks, aren't they? They refuse to wear masks. So they got a bit of a cultural problem here, haven't they?
They're anti-maskers that wear masks.
Yeah. Well, they're not technically masks. They're hoods.
That's a different.
They fit looser.
Their motto is all or nothing at all.
Exactly.
What else is happening in the world these days? Did you guys see that Microsoft is going to change the font of Office? Apparently, it's been the font is Calibri. That's what you've been looking at if you use an Office package. It's been the font of Office since 2007, and this is a fun story with the original designer of the font. How he ended up involved, how it was actually kind of a secret project at first because he didn't know. He's a typesetter that was asked to generate some fonts for a project he didn't understand was going to be Microsoft Office. But he's been proud of the font. It's been around for the last 14 years, and Microsoft just announced that they're going to be changing it to an upcoming new font that hasn't been announced.
So, Scott, just as a trivia question, you know the origin of the term upper and lower case.
I do, but go ahead and tell us because it's a good story.
Judy, you know it? What is it?
I know it.
It's not much of a story now if we all know
it. Yeah, well, they wrecked it, and I'm not going to tell it anymore.
He doesn't know, so go ahead and tell us.
Well, when the old typesetters used to sit at their bench and setting up type for whatever they were going to print, the most used cases were right in front of them, and the uppercase ones, which aren't used much, were up on a shelf up above. So they were the uppercase, and the lowercase was down on the bottom.
And you had to mind your P's and Q's because they were backwards on the typeface.
There you go.
I would imagine you'd have to have them as different standard sizes, or you'll get them confused with B's and D's. Right? There would have to be an obvious up and down or a slightly larger size, something indicating that they're sitting in the right order. P's, Q's, D's, B's.
Those were the capital letters in the upper case.
Yeah. But you're talking about in the lower case, your P's and Q's. You had to mind your P's and Q's, but you had to do your D's and B's too.
That's right, yeah.
It doesn't quite flow as well, mind your D's and B's, as P's and Q's.
Maybe if you should mind your D's and Q's and P's and no, it doesn't work at all.
the whole mess.
P's and Q's does sound appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, if you are an Office subscriber running the latest Office products, you're going to see a change in fonts coming in. If you're interested in the story of the original typesetter that determined the default font that billions of people have seen since 2007, then I put that link in our chat, and I'll stick it on today's meeting. Yeah, impromptu topic that we've already mentioned once, but did you guys all see that Bill and Melinda Gates are getting divorced?
Yeah, getting married.
Getting married, right.
34 years.
They've been married for 27 years.
Is it 27?
Yeah. Does it give the reason why?
Yeah, right. It's obviously not financial.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's money arguments.
Yeah.
They can no longer grow as a couple.
That's what something about they don't see themselves moving forward in their relationship.
Oh,
27 years. Well, you know, that's a true testimony that money can't buy everything.
Or maybe it did.
I guess it depends on your perspective, doesn't it? I got so much money, I don't have to put up with this. I bet Jeff Bezos feels the same way, Judy. It's like, it was cheap. It's cheap. I'm out of it.
Well, Bezos had a trophy woman in line before he split up. That's what caused the split. There's no indication that there's an alternative in the wings somewhere for either one of them.
Okay, Bill, you've convinced me. I take it back. Money can buy anything.
Yeah, money can buy pretty much anything when you're in the billions.
When you're in the billions, that's right.
Anything below that is chump change.
Well, this is an article here talking about the in-depth about the announcement, their lives, and blah, blah, blah. If you're interested in tech gossip, this is relationship gossip. This is the article for you. We could just go down my list of topics, or if anybody's got questions or
actually,
anything they
one.
Would like to contribute. Yeah, Jim, tell us what's going on with you, man.
Okay, I was fiddling around with a problem my internet access this morning, and I noticed that on my iPhone, when I'm connected to my home network, it says weak security. And I'm wondering what that's referring to and what, if anything, I can do, what sort of modifications I might make here to change that.
Well, it must be referring to either or both the encryption scheme your Wi-Fi is using or the password or both. But my first inclination would be to think it's the encryption you're using. You're probably using WPA when you should be supporting WPA2.
Okay, I don't know how to change that. I have both a modem and a separate router.
It would be where you get your Wi-Fi from, and you'd have to get into the Wi-Fi settings. It's part of the characteristics of the Wi-Fi network you've created. And if it is the password, there's going to be some consumer way of changing your password that should not be too painful. But if it is the encryption, it's WPA instead of WPA2. If that's the case, Jim, that's a real indicator that your equipment is kind of old, and because all these things out of the box are coming with the higher level of encryption. And so like your equipment, I'm just kind of dating your equipment if that's the case. If it's not the case, then that's awesome. You're going to find some consumer way of changing your password based on what kind of router you have. But if you've gotten this encryption set because that's the way it came out of the box, that's a real indicator of the age of your equipment then.
Got it. I can check.
Yeah. Now it may be that by default it supports WPA and something has happened in your life that required someone or yourself to set it down to WPA. And if that's the case, then I would be less concerned about the age of your equipment. But if it's happening by default, that makes me really nervous that your equipment has fallen really out of date.
And it's not very old, it seems.
You might just start with a reset of the equipment and setting it up fresh again to see if that, I don't want to leave you without internet, but it might be the fastest way to determine whether the encryption is by default that WPA or the WPA2.
Okay, I'll check. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Okay, I have a question.
Paul, just one second, though. Jim, what is the name of your router?
The
Wi-Fi that you're using, what's the name brand and model?
Well, let's see. Hold on.
I just want to put it on my list. I'm going to look it up later and see what it says. If it has a version number, that would be great, too. Paul, are you still there? Because you disappeared from the screen.
For some reason, my camera keeps going off. I'm going to unplug it and plug it back in. It's an external camera because my camera doesn't work in the machine. But
okay, the router doesn't have a name. It's provided by Longmont Utility.
Okay.
The modem is a FiCom.
So which one are you connecting to for Wi-Fi?
The Wi-Fi is coming into the modem and from there to the router.
So the Wi-Fi, you don't have a name brand on it.
Well, it's actually Next Light, NextLight. It's a Longmont City Utilities Department Wi-Fi access.
So, did you say Next Light? N-E-X-T, like Lumination?
LIGHT, correct. And it is supposed to be able to provide up to 1 gigabyte speeds. The reality is it doesn't. It's probably at the best 250, 300 megabits still.
That's nothing to complain about. Under perfect situation, maybe it has the potential. But under Wi-Fi, I would be surprised if it got up that. That's not a speed that we're doing regularly.
Right.
On Wi-Fi. Longmont Fiber. Okay, so I see that this is the service you're using. Are you sure the Next Light isn't your modem and the other is your Wi-Fi?
Now that you mention it, I guess I'm not. I thought it was.
MyNextLight.com comes up with Bound. Well, I know I'm looking at the right.
Well, let me back up. Maybe I'm confused. I'm assuming that the Wi-Fi is the signal that is coming from the cable provided by the city of Longmont into my modem. And from there, that signal is passed to the router to create my local network.
What you told me about the unnamed device, you said it was a Next Light. That's the
It's provided by Next Light.
So the way this should be set up, if you're on this fiber, I'm looking at the service here in Google because for some reason their website won't up right now. But I'm looking at it cached in Google, and they talk about it being a fiber optic connection. Mm-hmm. So you have fiber coming into a device, which probably would not have a name on it because it's provided by your internet provider. There's a good chance that it doesn't have a name on it. And then you would plug in a router for Wi-Fi for your home network. And so I'm assuming that the one that doesn't have a name is your modem, and the one that does have a name is your Wi-Fi connection. I'm making that assumption. Okay. What's your Wi-Fi call? Like the name of your Wi-Fi?
FICOM.
Well, that's not very – that doesn't explain it either.
Yeah, it's at – the network is at PHICOMM_58_5G.
Yeah, but that kind of – and what did you say the other device's name is?
The other device is simply provided by Next Light.
It doesn't have a model on it.
I'll look again, but I don't think so.
Okay, well, Jim, what? Because if that's provided by the provider, then that's not the one we're talking about. Paul, sorry to put you on hold there. I thought we were just going to be able to
get
some quick. I wanted to hear Linksys. WRT54G. I was going to write it down and then look it up.
So I have a new year-old HP, and I wanted to download pictures to it. And so I looked at the editor to see if it was a user-friendly editor. And it's not as good as the generic editor on my old computer. And so I was thinking of going to something, but and something free. And my sister uses Picasa. And she likes Picasa. Oh. So I looked for Picasa and found out that it's not supported by Google anymore.
Oh, that's gone. Yeah. She uses Picasa because she's never deleted it. But it's,
yeah, but,
that's not even a.
I can get it from. There's a company called Down to Up that's in Spain.
I don't know, Paul. If you're looking to do that kind of stuff, are you looking to get into a product that's not supported, that hasn't been supported for, what, like 7 years now?
Well, Google says it has something new, but a lot of times the new things are
not as good as the old things. All Google stuff is in the cloud now. So you're either using Google Photos on a mobile device, which has a proper app, or you're using Google Photos in the cloud, probably through a Chrome browser.
Yeah, I'm using a Chrome browser.
Yeah, so if you sync your computers up into the cloud, then you can use Google Photo to do basic editing with it.
Yeah, but I haven't downloaded the or keyed
there isn't
into
an
the
app.
Application of editing yet. I mean,
yeah.
I can see my pictures. So those are all up in the cloud, the pictures that it has in it?
Yeah,
fact, as we're talking, I don't do any Google Cloud editing.
Because I know they come from my phone automatically.
That's right. As part of the Google Photos backup. I'm trying to go into my Google Photos as we're speaking, and it's asking me to verify my password. Come on.
I don't use a lot of features. I use brightness and you know.
Well, you're still on.
And
aren't you still on Windows 10? The Microsoft Photos program will allow you to do that. I've gotten into our
Microsoft Photos.
Yeah, Photos or Windows 10 Photos. If you go to the Windows Start button. Type in photo, it'll bring up here. I'm going to switch to my display. Look at all these happy. If you click on the start button, and you type in photo, then you'll see the Windows Photo app come up. It's just called Photo. And this is a photo organizer and editor for photos that are stored on your computer.
Oh, okay.
And it includes things like changing the light. I hope I don't have anything incriminating.
The saturation.
Yeah, hold on a second. I want to see what pops up in my photos before everybody else does. I don't know what I might have. Who knows? What it's taking is forever to build my thumbnails. I must not have gotten in. Something has changed that's requiring. Oh, you know, I was doing some maintenance. I wonder if it wiped out my thumbnails from the system just to try and free up extra space. Right, it's right now. It's trying to regenerate the thumbnail. I'm certain I don't have anything. you can see how it's slowly filling in. Like these are all photos that are stored on my local hard drive. And if I was using this product regularly, these would already have thumbnails. But I was just doing maintenance on my computer, trying to leech out just the littlest bit more space on my computer. And I let it do a blanket cleanup on my computer, and I suspect it wiped out these thumbnails.
You got them now.
But yeah, I've got enough here to look at. I'll bring up a photo right now. It's still working on making that list, though. It's slowing everything. There we go. Here's an important picture. This is my kid at graduation. And up here in the upper right, can you guys see my screen okay, or should I put it in presentation mode?
Okay.
Well, and the upper right is behind the list of members. So.
Oh, let me bring it down like this. You see how I made this bar smaller and then this ellipse?
Yeah.
And this ellipse. Oh, edits right here. It just doesn't say it. I'm sorry. Get creative with this photo. And there's edit. Right? And when you go into the editor, then one of the first things it's got, well, it starts out in crop. Apparently. But what I was thinking is there's this button for adjustments, filters. Where is it? Filters. This is the one I was looking at. Filters. And it's got this auto enhance your photo. Do you see that there? Where you just hit it like a magic wand and it just does some changes to try and make the photo look better. Which I have to say does.
With a slider, you can adjust.
So have you been using this, Paul?
You can. I think I've used that, yeah.
Yeah, every time I go into photos and now video, too, they've got a fairly extensive video editor in the latest versions of Windows 10. I'm just more and more impressed by the product they've got, at least for that 90% of the things people want to do, which is typically like 10% of Photoshop.
Oh, 1%.
Yeah, or 1%. Yeah, right. But so I would recommend seeing if you can find the features in Microsoft Photos because it's there. And then here in the background, if you're still looking at my screen, I'm looking at one of our pictures in Google Photos. I'll back up. This is what Google Photos looks like. I guess I don't have a lot of photos in here. I've got those two photos. But I'll grab this one of us. And now I'm just looking at it. But up here in the bar, here's the edit button. It looks like an EQ. And you click on that. And now I'm in the Google Photos editor. And I have some of the same kind of controls.
Yeah.
I don't see an auto, but there's a light pop, I imagine, has something to do with saturation, making your photo pop.
Yeah, it is saturation. And then colors, this is color temperature.
This is all cropping. So all this stuff is available online. So before it was a little frustrating to try and use an online photo editor, but it was frustrating because your photos were typically on your computer.
Yeah.
If you're using a mobile device as your camera, it's more than likely a Android device. But even if it was an Apple device, you've probably installed Google Photos on it. And that means all your photos are already up there in the cloud. And so editing them isn't really a complicated thing anymore. Before, the real challenge was getting them up there. If they're already up there, you can use this photo editor.
Okay.
So I would start with those two. And then if you're looking for something beyond that, we got to talk some more.
Okay, can I look at my old computer and find the program and download it onto a disk and put it onto the new computer?
No, not unless it's a Macintosh.
No.
Oh, yeah, the Windows operating system just does not let you function that way.
Even though it was Windows before.
That's right. The Windows operating system has never been forgiving with apps. If anything, it's intentionally made it cryptic to install apps on another computer from another computer.
All right.
There are methodologies you can use. For example, if I was to set up five computers for a computer lab or for an organization, I could clone the same computer across those five computers. But moving an individual app has never been an easy thing to do.
I don't think it copies all the files.
Well, even if you got all the files, then you'd have a whole set of configurations that are embedded in the registry of Windows. It's been intentionally engineered to make it difficult to just pick up a piece of software and move it.
Okay, Professor, I won't do it.
Yeah, there are pieces of software that have been built to be independent pieces of software. You'll find them on the internet. There's pieces of software, little utilities that people will build that you can carry on a thumb drive, and you can just start them right up without having to install them in Windows. Those kinds of pieces of software you can move around. But most of the big stuff, you can't. You can't just swap it from one computer to the next.
All right.
The closest we are to that right now is buying it from the Microsoft Store, which gives you kind of a different experience. If you are using the Microsoft Store for your software purchases, if that's the way you do things, well, then you can go to another computer and sign in with your Microsoft account and immediately have access to that inventory of software. So you can put that other piece of software on that computer. However, it's because you own it. You own it in the store. You own it digitally, and so you're the way you're moving it is you're doing a fresh install on that
computer. Yeah, I understand. That's good.
One of those things. I'm sorry. I know I digress all over the board, but it's one of those things with Macintosh that has always been very impressive. Is that whether you're migrating or like you can go into a Macintosh, grab the application from the application folder, stick it on a drive, bring it over to the other Macintosh, and drop it in the applications folder of the other Macintosh. And 9 times out of 10, that's all you have to do. It's there. It's ready to go. If it's not ready to go, then there's personal settings that haven't been set up yet, and they will set up when you start up the app. If you're doing a migration on a Macintosh, like say you have a Time Machine backup and you've got one of those brand new Macintoshes and you want to move your whole personality to that new Macintosh, well, you have the option to move all the applications with it, which is amazing. You don't have to worry about license codes or any of that kind of stuff. It all just transfers right over to the other device.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. So that's way too much information for Paul. I hope you all found it to be way too much information and are ready to talk about something else.
I have a technical medical issue again.
Oh, yes, Chester. Go right ahead.
Well, if you recall about a month ago that I had the aorta valve at the center of my heart replaced and was home the next day.
Yes.
A week ago today, I had a kidney removed.
Ooh.
And was home the next day.
Oh my gosh.
It was done robotically, and they had a robot that went in and took out that kidney and removed it, and then repaired everything that was that needed to be repaired. And
that's amazing.
Then again, I was home the next day, 24 hours later.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, what's that procedure called, Chester?
They have a name for it. I just can't, you know, I just can't remember what it is. It was done at Mayo, and it's called a robotic procedure.
It's a nephrectomy.
A what?
Nephrectomy.
Well, can you drop that in the chat? I don't even know how to spell that. I wouldn't even
think that's the name of it.
Well, that's
N-E-P-H.
I don't know if that's with robots, but
I don't either. But that's what it's called when they cut you from your center front to your center back and bent you over and took it out.
Yeah,
I bet they did that to you.
Well, this involved I think 5 small insertions in the abdomen.
Wow.
And then 2-inch one below the navel.
Wow.
And the 2-inch one was necessary in order to get the kidney out.
Yeah. Huh. And
amazing.
On the third day, I threw away all my pain pills.
Oh my!
Wow. God.
So it's modern medicine.
We are really learning through your medical procedures. I think I found it. I'm gonna.
What hospital did you say? Is it Banner again?
No, this was at Mayo.
Nephrectomy. Is that the term you're using there?
Yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Robotic and robotic. Yeah.
Wow.
It the interesting thing is that those are 2 fairly major medical procedures.
That right.
In the old days, I would have to have open heart surgery to replace the heart valve. And then I would have been cut from asshole to appetite in order to get the kidney out.
Exactly.
That's great terminology. I'd never heard that before.
Chester, you weren't at the – when you told us about your first one, your heart one, the next week you weren't around, but I shared with the group something that my doctor is doing. He's been trying to find the cure for diabetes, and he has discovered how to do islet transplantation. Islets are the part of the pancreas that actually make insulin. Well, now he has created a way to take a person's blood sample and use that to stem cell produce islets, and then put them back in your own body, just under the skin, and then you don't have to be on anti-rejection drugs. Anyway, so the robotic part is that they need to create all of these stem cells, and they have to store them, and they have to have a mass production of them in order to save or to stop or to control the blood sugar. So they've been raising money, and they have created this lab in the university in Edmonton that has robots doing all of the extraction of the stem cells and doing all of the things that need to be done, as opposed to a staff of thousands. They're doing it with these robots. So it is so interesting. Technology is amazing stuff. So
my understanding for the benefit of the robots is high precision. You know, it doesn't make mistakes.
Yeah, that's amazing. Once you've been able to do this, then they've standardized it. They just show up with the robot, or you show up where the robot is, and just an engineer has to make sure all the equipment's working correctly.
Right.
It's just amazing, Chester. You're really enlightening us to the modern science day we're living in. I think this is your procedure as a robot procedure.
Mm-hmm.
It could be. I don't have any pictures of it, but that will.
I think I recognize you. I think that's you.
That's Chester's kidney. Look right there. It says San Carlos or bust on it.
I got to tell you, the operating room, you just cannot believe the equipment that's in there. Massive.
So Chester, did they put you right under?
Yes.
And yes. So when you recovered, was it later the same day that you,
same
you woke
day.
Up? Or,
I woke up yeah. maybe, I don't know, maybe 2 hours later.
Yeah. Wow. It's amazing.
And I just stuck the link to this. This is a description of Chester's procedure with pictures that that outline the operating room, and it's pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Yeah, right here on the San Carlos Computer Club.
Right. We talk about some of the most amazing stuff, don't we? We are so interesting.
One of the amazing things, really, is that even though the nurses were doing something every hour and a half during the evening, I was able to just go right back to sleep. Every time they would rouse me for something, blood or check my blood pressure or whatever, I'd fall right back to sleep. So I had a good night's sleep, and that helped me get home the next day.
The Mayo has good drugs.
Yeah.
Now, when they say robot, I think what it really is the surgeon has his hands in a contraption that where if he moves his finger an inch, it moves the instrument a millimeter. You know, it's sort of like a pantograph. And so he's able to see what's happening there. And you saw the instrument go up and cut some of the fascia away to free an organ. But he's doing that with his hands.
Yes, he's in the booth, I understand.
He's moving a lot grosser than the instrument is.
Right.
Yeah, because we can't have that fine movement. But, yeah, you still need the surgeon, but he's using the technology as between him and.
Actually, there were three surgeons. Because they were doing different things. I have about five entrances into the abdomen, and no problem. Actually, the bandages are supposed to come off today.
So you don't know how large the incisions are then?
Yes, they're very small. Those five are very small. But there's one that's 2 inches below the navel that was necessary in order to get the kidney out.
Oh. Huh. Wow.
Well, gee, that's pretty amazing stuff. I just put our progress report into the chat as well, a link to it. Basically, it's the lab that I was talking about and the equipment and everything. He takes you on a tour through the facility.
This is the diabetes.
Hi, I'm James Shapiro, and I'm really thrilled to be able to have this opportunity.
Diabetic research. Huge. Yeah.
Thank you.
That's my doctor.
Heading to 2022 and all of you.
So, Chester, the other kidney's good.
Develop a cure for diabetes. Yes. Yeah, the other kidney's good.
A lot of progress in the last few months. We've opened a new...
But we've been watching this one kidney for about 5 years. And a year ago, I was told that by the doctor that at the rate it was growing, they wouldn't have to take it out until it was 95. But it changed its mind during the year and decided to grow. So they concluded that it had to come out. But in order for it to come out, I had to have that valve in the heart replaced.
Wow. Well, it's probably easier to do it now than when you're 95, that's for sure.
Right.
Oh, yeah, Chester, are you saying that because of the kidney, you got the heart fixed?
Yeah.
Because you knew you're...
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. My cardiologist would not release me to have the kidney procedure without that valve being replaced. And frankly, I had no symptoms on the valve.
That's what you were saying, is that it was only discovered through listening to the heart murmur, you called it.
Yeah, it's heart murmur.
Cheryl, remind me again, what is it that the diabetes study was? I've forgotten, I'm sorry. You've sent us this link, and it's got the presentation, but I can't remember what the project was.
Well, basically, it's heading to the cure for diabetes, but...
Oh, as a stem cell project.
Yeah, this is the stem cell work that they're doing now, yeah.
Okay, well, I want to take a look at that.
Is it just for type 1 diabetes?
Actually, this would work for all types of diabetes.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's either a lack of the part of the pancreas that makes it, or the pancreas that you have isn't working well enough for you. That's the differences between the two different types, right? So any malfunction with blood sugar control is called diabetes. Type 1 is you need insulin because you don't produce any. Type 2 is you produce it, but it's not enough, or it doesn't work as well. Something's wrong with the working of it.
What about the regulating part of it? Like if you put a cell in that makes insulin and it just keeps making insulin, it could make too much, right?
The actual islet cells, they respond the way they're supposed to, and that when there is food and when there is something to be broken down and turned into energy, it will do it then. Hmm. You know, if your blood sugars are regulated the way they're supposed to, your islets are working properly, and they're hoping to create the right amount of islets and the right kind.
Oh, so they're self-regulating, sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the stem cells don't care exactly where they're at. Like Cheryl's are now in her liver. They just injected them into the liver and they take up residence there and they're happy. And you're right, they're self-regulating.
We're all happy.
We're all happy.
Yeah.
Well, we need a section of medical health in our computer club.
Well, we have recommendations. Now we have medical health. Yeah.
I hope I make no more contributions.
Oh,
yeah, you've done your part.
And we don't want to hear from you again, Chester.
Right.
Wait, no, we want to hear from Chester every day. Every Tuesday we want to hear from Chester.
That's right.
We're very pleased you're still with us through these, which would be major surgeries.
Yes, they would have been.
Yeah, and how nice to know that it can be made so much more gentle on a patient's body, giving them so much more life. It
takes a lot of the fear and risk away.
I imagine it really does. I mean, we were butting up against this. You're too old for the risk that comes along with the surgery, and they've eliminated a lot of that risk now. It's amazing.
One thing that did give them a little bit of trouble, I think, was my belly is obese.
I think you've
lost
that
weight
down on the way out. Could they?
I don't think I heard that.
I think that personally, they need to change the categories because as a society, obese has meant different things. You know, so it's a relative term.
Well, you can say that, but I've got a feeling in science, obese still means the amount of weight over what you're supposed to be is.
But who defines supposed to?
Exactly. Who is making this supposed to be?
It's I'm too short. Too short for what? My legs reach the ground from my butt. You know, like what the heck? You
know? It's defined by some skinny person.
Yeah, there you
That's
go.
That's right. It's a cabal of skinny people.
Yeah, let's talk
to
about
tell
those skinny people that aren't here.
I think that Chester, your doctors, your surgeons must be so excited to not be causing the pain and making it such a terrible experience to have these things done. You know, I just know how grateful my doctor is whenever he finds out a new thing, and you know, it's amazing.
Yes, it is.
Lower that risk.
My voice is a little bit off because of the, you know, the breathing thing they stick down your throat during the procedure.
Well,
but otherwise you seem great.
I am. One week past kidney surgery, like, holy geez.
Yeah. No, I can't believe you've had heart surgery and kidney surgery in the time period we've been having these meetings, and you show up the next day.
Right. Yeah.
It's really impressive.
Well, I haven't missed the two intervening meetings because of appointments and procedures. But I'm back.
Welcome home.
But the anesthetics that they use now are really good. Propofol is, I had that for colonoscopy. And you don't know you're going to sleep and you don't know you're waking up. You know, there's no grogginess or anything like that.
No.
A little confusion because you look around and you say, wait a minute, is this a different room?
Well, that's awesome. Hi, Fred. You're joining us a little late. We've just been talking about Chester's most recent procedure. A robot removed his kidney. That's the summary. In a nutshell, we live in that world.
And sold it and on the black market.
Well, I don't know about that, but they removed. Did you say yesterday or the day before?
1 week.
A week ago today.
Someday it'll be drones doing surgery, you know, hovering over you.
Yeah, well, right.
They'll just show up at your house.
That's right. Hopefully they're not like stormtrooper drones coming in to do whatever they want. You look like you need less legs today.
Okay, so we got the stormtroopers coming in on May the 4th, be with you. And we've got Amazon delivering by a drone because, you know, of the divorce. Anyway, we got it all covered.
It's a very thematic meeting today.
That's right.
So I don't think I want stormtroopers operating on me based on how good their aim is.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. No, if anything, any of that kind of stuff makes you nervous. Or I don't want R2-D2 operating on me. I'm just so impressed by it. I was looking at the procedure on this website, this university website, and that's the link that I put in the chat. You should check it out because it's just very impressive that there's these machines making those cuts and doing those.
I'm going to go online and take a look at it. Find out what they did.
Yeah. Yeah, because you can see where it would result in 5 incisions around your body.
Yes. Well, they're not incisions as much as they are little holes.
Entry points.
Entry points, yeah.
Yes, entry points.
Very cool. Well, do we have any other tech topics, stories we'd like to share?
I have a couple of series we've watched.
We can move to recommendations if you want. I do have a couple of other tech topics, but nothing that can't be dropped later or released later. Let me see if there's anything. I got one thing before we leave tech topics. I do want people to be on the lookout for a new Windows 10 taskbar widget. Microsoft has not done a taskbar thing in a long time. But apparently what should start showing up, and it should have already started showing up in older versions of Windows 10. Apparently, if you have the latest version of Windows 10, you're still waiting for it. But one of these updates is going to end up with a news weather widget on your taskbar. And I've got a link to it here that shows us kind of how it would work. It looks cool. I think it's going to show up on your taskbar with a little bubble of announcement. So if you're running Windows 10, it's just going to appear one day. Let's see if we can get a picture right here. Oh, here we go.
That's my boy.
So I hope you can see that okay. I'm going to turn on this. They really haven't done anything with the taskbar as far as features. It's had the same features forever. This is what they're going to add. Do you guys see that? Yeah, so the idea is that over where the date and time is, there's going to be this button that brings up news and weather. It'll give you all these different categories that you can configure, similar to the news app if you've ever used that. So just one touch away. Being a computer person, just being a human, I find this attractive and interesting and entertaining. Being a computer person, they've given me one more reason to be distracted from the work I'm trying to get done. But you can tell from this video, they're pretty proud of what they put together. And it's just gonna come to Windows 10. There's no buying it. It's just going to be part of it. Whether you use it or not, it's going to be up to you. But I think how it will end up appearing will probably be a little announcement bubble of the new toolbar. And, I'm still looking at my screen thinking you're still looking at my screen. I think we'll see a little announcement bubble in the toolbar, and then we'll have an option to turn it off. We'll go into toolbar and turn it off if we don't want to use it.
Okay, Scott.
That's the end of my light topics for today.
Just before we move on, Scott, it's just a note from Mars. The little drone has now been given a new assignment. It's now a scout. It's going out and scouting for the rover.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah.
So it's like It's doing recon.
Yeah, exactly. Its original task was just to find, to test out whether it could fly on Mars and maneuver a little bit. And they've successfully done all of that. So they said, okay, well, what else can we do? And they set it up. It's going recon for the rover.
That's great. So now it's searching for enemies.
Martians.
Yeah. Martians. Right.
Yeah, but just a little sidebar there.
Well, that's great. You know, Jim sent me a link. Where did that go? Here it is. See the astonishing plans for the very first city on Mars. Apparently, there's been a group put together exploring. This is a Popular Mechanics article exploring what kind of technologies they're planning on for a Mars colony. And I think it's all based on Musk's idea. You'd have a $300,000 ticket that would take you to Mars and set you up with a place to live. In a condo, in a cliff wall. You can see this picture here. And it gets in, talks about the kind of technology you'd be using, the designs they would be using for such a structure.
And no return ticket.
It's one way.
It's one
see
way.
Here.
It's seniors one way. Oh, I'm sorry. Say again.
Seniors, healthcare, living, all in one place. It's a complex.
It is, but at the same time, somewhere very early in article says that a binding work contract to devote between 60% to 80% of your work time on tasks assigned by the city.
Oh, there you go.
So
can you put that link in our chat?
Yeah, absolutely. Let me grab that.
What I've been doing is I open each of the links and then at the end of our time, I save my session.
Using Session Buddy?
Yeah, Session Buddy.
Yeah.
So I have all of the links that we looked at today on a session, and I just name it the name of the meeting.
Yeah. That's awesome. Then you can go back to it whenever you want.
Yeah.
Okay, Scott, I'm only going to go if I get to work on the Soylent Green Factory.
The Soylent Green Factory. We have to overpopulate for that to be a viable solution.
Oh, you got to recycle. Come on now.
You know, they're talking about technologies for turning the Martian air into oxygen from carbon dioxide.
Total recall.
Right. Well, in the same article I read that, no one mentioned using that technology on Earth. Like, why are you in such a hurry? Why don't we fix where we are? If you've got a technology to clean up CO2, man, we should put it to use now.
they have that technology, but it requires too much oil and gas.
John, hold one second.
Okay. Oh, so it does. Yeah, so it's got diminishing returns or poor returns.
I'm on a
it.
Zoom call, so let me put this on mute if I can.
I'll meet you, Jim. There you go.
Anyway, Scott, this morning, I saw an article that was talking about CO2 conversion, and the problem is the energy used. But there's a company in Europe somewhere working on a project that takes one of the these balloons that they're helium balloons or hydrogen balloons, and sends the mechanism up to about 30,000 feet where it's nice and cold. That's the real problem with the energy.
Sure.
Converts the CO2 and fills a canister with it. It comes back down and drops that off, replenishes their helium, and goes back up. And the energy drops down way down, so it's closer to feasible.
So what you're dropping down is tanks of oxygen that were created in the atmosphere.
Tanks of CO2.
Well, I thought we were trying to get rid of CO2.
Well, I know they're bringing it down, and then they're injecting it like they do now. They inject it into the ground. They mix it.
I got you. They're pulling it out.
They're pulling it out of the upper atmosphere where it's easy to pull it out.
Oh, okay.
Bringing it back down, get an empty tank and more hydrogen, and up they go again.
That's amazing. That's really like the bailing the boat out kind of plan.
That's pretty much what it is.
Yeah, well, to use the boat analogy, as long as they remember that as well, you can't just fix a boat or just bail it. You have to fix and bail at the same time.
Bill, I was having these horror flash forwards because I was misunderstanding what you're saying. I was imagining this contraption you would send tanks up into the atmosphere to pull oxygen, like CO2 has been converted to clean oxygen into a tank. And I was imagining this dystopia where all of us have these space elevators hooked to our houses where the only way we get oxygen is when it comes out of the atmosphere as a tank.
I'll see if I can find it. I'm pretty sure I know where I saw this.
Yeah, please send me the link. I want to see more of that.
Well, I understand that Exxon is spending a lot of money researching this subject.
This conversion or this, what do they call when they stick it in the ground like that? Yeah, forgotten the...
Oh, it's in this article. The name is...
Yeah, there's some...
Out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's where we want it, is in the ground.
It's stored.
I envision a catalytic radiator on every car that converts the carbon dioxide out again.
Yeah, that's a cool idea. I'd like to see something like that. Yeah, first, then when they're all electric vehicles, it'll have to be on the main power sources.
Okay, Scott, the term is geosequestration. There you go.
That's right, sequestration.
Anyway, here's the link. I'll put it in the...
Oh, awesome.
No, where are you? There it is, chat.
Making a note. I want to make get it on today's
make page. It so. There you go.
Awesome.
And we'd have carbonated soil. Fizzy.
Fizzy soil.
Yeah, that's...
Well,
is your soil bubble?
Actually, they got some kind of process. They mix the CO2 with water, inject it down in the ground. And over a period of a couple of years, it turns to rock again, or something. I don't know.
They mixed it with water and
I believe
bourbon.
So. Yeah, there you go.
Turns into diamonds.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. If we could turn the CO2 into diamonds and oxygen, we'd be all set.
Very cool. Well, I'll add this to today's meeting as well. Yeah, I'm going to read this later. This is awesome. Thank you, Bill.
I'm looking forward to hearing what Chester was going to recommend because I've been catching up on some of our previous ones. Maggie gave us one called The Serpent, and
it was
a very disturbing but interesting mini-series.
We can't stop watching it. We keep binging it. We go to bed because we have to.
Yeah. Well, there was a couple of 2 o'clock in the mornings. At 2 o'clock, our computers... Build reboots the internet and everything, so it turns off on me. So that's my time to go to bed. So 2 a.m.
That's the indicator you've been up too late.
yeah. So anyways, yeah, so The Serpent. And then the other one is Bill and I are actually watching together Resident Alien. And it's hilarious. I see what you mean about the guy, the actor. Yeah, it's a very funny sci-fi, but just silliness. And it's placed in Colorado, which I think that Jim and Linda might enjoy because it's very the nature, you know, the whole little small town bit and the whole bit. And there's
small town Colorado,
a big native element in it, too. And it's quite cool.
Well, I'm glad you're enjoying it. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I can't wait till they do another season. And I've always enjoyed this actor. And I've known about him for a long time. And I've just watched his career grows. And he's just become so diverse. He can just fill all these different roles now. It's amazing. He's going to become that odd actor you call. Like, I think his skills have gone beyond Christopher Glovin. Those type of people that just can encompass a strange role and own it. Alan Tunick's his name. Well, that's cool. Chester, what was your recommendation? You said you had something you wanted to bring.
My first recommendation is called The Undoing.
The Undoing. Is that a TV or a movie?
It's a series. A
series. I haven't heard of it at all.
It's an HBO.
Is it new?
The second one is CB Strike. It's two initials, C, like Chester, B, Strike, S-T-R-I-K-E. He's an English private detective.
Well, I haven't heard of either one of these.
And the third one that I were watching is, it's pronounced Mayor, but it's M-A-R-A, Easttown, Mara Easttown. It's the lady sheriff.
That's British as well?
No.
No?
So these are all ones that you would recommend. You're enjoying them. They're worth us.
Yep.
Is the Easttown a series too?
Yes.
On HBO?
It's a little different in that the first series was 3 hours, and we're watching the second series, and I think it's either 2 or 3 hours, so they're not very long.
They're miniseries, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, miniseries.
Are they British miniseries?
No, they're American. Nope.
Is that it?
M-A-R-A.
Is it all one word, Mara Easttown?
I think it's listed that way.
Okay.
I think it's M-A-R-E, Chester. I'm looking at it right here.
Could be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A detective in a small Pennsylvania town investigates a local murder while trying to keep life from falling apart.
Yep, that's it.
Oh, like a female mayor of Easttown. Got it.
Look up The Undoing.
Yeah, I just had that. Where is it? Here it is, The Undoing. TV miniseries.
Well acted.
Mayor is short for Meredith.
Has Hugh Grant.
Oh, it's a series with Hugh Grant? That's interesting.
Hugh Grant and a beautiful woman. I can't remember her name. I just don't have it in front of me.
I got it in three out on screen. Hugh Grant, Nicole Kidman.
Yes, Nicole Kidman.
And this is a series. Wow, some of these actors are really doing a good job of transitioning to TV shows.
Yeah, they are. That's a good one. It leaves you open. But, you know, it finally does get resolved, but you're at a
modern twist.
All those mysteries where you don't know who done it.
I was going to say, its description is a modern twist on a classic whodunit tale with the life of a wealthy New York therapist turned upside down after she and her family get involved with a murder case.
Yep.
So, Chester, how are you watching CB Strike? I've read the book, some of the books.
Well, I just finished series one, and I think it was only 3 hours long.
But where was it? CB Strike.
I got it off of HBO.
Oh, huh. Because it says it's a BBC show.
It is.
It's J.K. Rowling's book under her other name.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
She's written a couple. I'm trying to think what the other one was that I read.
Strike is the main guy. He's like the hero kind of guy.
War veteran turned private detective. Yeah.
Of course, you have to be.
Brutal murders with the help of his trusted assistant. So is this like, this isn't fantasy. This isn't like.
No, it's not fantasy.
No.
It's a mystery.
No,
I didn't even realize she wrote books like that.
Yeah, yes. J.K. Rowling has written like a couple of detective series and things like that. Her Harry Potter is it a change from the ordinary, if you put it that way?
Oh, what did I do? There we go. Sorry about that. I clicked somewhere wrong on my meeting and had a weird message. But so you're saying that Harry Potter was a change from what her regular? I mean, the story I always heard about Harry Potter was that she was just barely making it by, and the success of Harry Potter changed her life. Like she went from poverty to a rich person because of Harry Potter. I didn't realize she had books that weren't getting recognized before that.
Well, under pseudonym.
You're right. Her pseudonym is Robert Galbraith.
Well, that's all very interesting. All of these sound like great recommendations.
It's on Prime Video.
Oh, it is? CB yes. Strike?
Uh-huh. But I don't know whether it's available for me down here on Prime Video or not. It may be something I have to watch up in the States.
So we could probably find out real quick. Let's do...
Well, I picked it up off of DirecTV because they purchased HBO. So you get everything that HBO has.
Not without signing up for HBO.
Right.
It's available on HBO Max in the United States. You can buy it on Google Prime. Let's see. We're in Mexico right now. Let's see what's available in Mexico.
If you have DirecTV, you can probably get it there.
Am I? Yeah, I'm looking at the right thing. HBO Go and, of all things, MobiStar. If you're a MobiStar customer, you probably have access to their movie service for streaming. So it's really lacking in Mexico to be able to watch this. But in the United States, it looked like there were some obscure options besides going to HBO Max. You've got DirecTV, like Chester says. You get all four seasons on DirecTV, two seasons on HBO Max or HBO. You can buy two seasons on Google Play, one season on Apple TV, one season on Amazon Prime. Of course, you have to buy it. It's not Amazon Prime. I'm sorry. It's for purchase on Amazon. Yeah. So there's nothing for free unless you're interested in streaming.
But the books are good, so.
Streaming. Streaming.
I always hate to ruin good TV and movies with a book. I don't know if I've said that before. That's how I feel. That's the kind of Stephen King fan I am. So I don't want to read the book because it's just going to ruin the movie. I guess that wasn't as funny as I thought it was.
Oh, I believe it's the opposite.
I know. That's the funny part.
Judy, you have a bigger imagination than the rest of us, I guess.
I know.
Well, I am such a slow reader, I could never keep up with somebody like Stephen King. So I made the decision a long time ago that I would watch the movies and TV shows without ever reading the books. That way I could appreciate them without being upset with them. I did bring two different recommendations I thought you guys might enjoy. One is a TV show that's on NBC. And I recommend this to folks that appreciated X-Files. This is the new X-Files, I'm certain. It's called Debris. And Debris is the show. The premise is that 6 years ago, they discovered on the fringes of our galaxy an alien spacecraft that's been damaged and is falling through our solar system. And debris from that spaceship shows up 6 months ago, starts arriving at Earth. And the debris is made up of all alien technologies. And so each episode is one – well, the show is based on an international investigation between MI6 and the CIA to track down the debris that has fallen to Earth. The debris being alien technology has all kinds of unimaginable consequences when it comes into contact with our Earth and our human physiology. And so each episode is like an X-Files mystery of what's going on in the place that they're investigating, what's the debris look like, and what's it causing, the effects in our reality. And their goal is to collect this debris, this alien technology, before it gets in the hands of the wrong people, kind of like weapons of mass destruction.
And what's the name of this series again?
It's called Debris. It's brand new. It's on NBC. It could be family. I mean, it's not too gross. It's a real NBC production, right? It's not too gross. It's very shiny. It's got pretty people in it, if you know what I mean. I think the age on it is like 14 and above, you know, that TV 14 rating. So it deals with some mature concepts, but not like over the top mature. Like you'd never be embarrassed if your 8-year-old walked in and watched you watching this show. That would never.
I was thinking about that when we were watching Resident Alien. Did your girls watch that with you?
They did. They did. And they found it really funny. But you're right. There were some adult themes in there.
I was going to say.
I don't know. You know, as a parent, I find things like Resident Alien's a perfect example. I want to expose my kids to that. I want to expose my kids to South Park, right at their age, right now, in the house, sitting on the couch next to me, so that they can discover the humor in it, and they can ask me questions about things they don't understand, and I can have my commentary on what I think's appropriate and what's not appropriate, because they're going to search that kind of stuff out without me. And I'd much rather be part of that process so they can kind of regulate the way they think about that kind of stuff. And it's much easier with stuff that's easy to digest, like Resident Evil. Or South Park's a great example. So much of South Park is very rude, but it's been on the air since 97. Every season is full of social commentary about our political system and our capitalism system. And I mean, and as it's gotten older, it's just gotten even more thoughtful about those kinds of things. And so what a perfect device to have conversations about what's happening in our world and what's influencing this story. And it's not just fart jokes. It's so much more than that. But my kids are interested in it because it's got fart jokes in it. So it makes it very easy to sit down with them and watch something and have those kinds of discussions.
Very good idea.
I made the decision when my kid hit 13, I made the decision that anything that's 15 or older was okay. And now we're halfway through Bibiana being 13. She's going to be 14 in May. And I've decided that most TV MA is okay if she's watching it with us. The mature adult content is okay if she's sitting there watching it with us and she has the ability to ask us questions and we have the ability to explain things to her.
And Scott, this is May.
This is May.
Yes. You said she turns 14 in May.
Oh, if I did, I mistook. She turns 14 in December.
Oh, okay.
She's 13 and a half now. But yeah, when she turned 13, we had a conversation about anime, because I'm not going to sit and watch all the anime that she wants to watch. But there's a lot of anime that's mature adult. It's made for mature adult. And so we had a conversation about it. And I'm like, look, we're not going to have any problems as long as what you're watching fits under TV 15. We're not going to be concerned about whether we watch it with you or not. But MA, we're not going to let you watch. And then just recently, like in the last month or so, we've decided that it's okay for her to watch MA as long as she's sitting right next to us and we're part of that conversation she's having in her head. I think about this stuff often. I try to be a very thoughtful parent, and I spend a lot of time trying, because the internet is like the moment that I walk out of the room, she could turn a corner and be in as much adult content as you could possibly imagine. And so for me, living in this world, it's all about teaching them to make good decisions and being critical thinkers. And so I'm always looking for opportunities to be part of that instead of letting them just wander around by themselves. So I hope I'm doing it right.
Yeah.
Well, if you had a second one that you were recommending.
I do. And if you like Debris, I mean, if you like X-Files, this Debris is the new X-Files. Previously, it was the show Fringe, which it's not. I mean, I totally recommend it, but I think we've talked about it before. If you're an X-Files fan, you'll enjoy these kinds of shows. The other recommendation I brought today is a podcast recommendation. It's a podcast called Land of the Giants. It's been around for about three seasons now, and I just recently started listening to it. But it's really interesting, in-depth history of these large tech companies, where they got their start and where they are right now, the way they make decisions about their products and their designs and their interface with customers. And so they've done large arcs on Amazon's development over the years, as well as Google, as well as Microsoft. And I'm just finding it really fascinating to hear these backstories, the things they used to, the stories they used to tell about each other, the way they've got interviews with employees that used to work for these leaders, and when they were there, when it was just a little shop of only five people, things of that nature. It's just fascinating to listen to. Every time I start one of these podcasts, I find myself having trouble shutting it down. I want to stop it for a second to do something, or I can't listen to it anymore. And I'm just so caught up in the story, I don't want to shut it down. So I figured it was a good recommendation for you folks. There are three seasons, and it's a podcast. There are three seasons in. I never recommend going all the way back to the beginning of a podcast unless the most recent stuff has piqued your curiosity. There's lots of content. There's no reason to start at the beginning. You can, if you don't do podcasts, what you'll find is that content, the delivery of content, gets better and better with every time they do it. So the most frequent releases are typically examples of their best content. So I would just start with whatever they're on in this season. And if it piques your curiosity, go back through, because they've got Amazon, they've got Google, they've got really interesting stories about there. But any podcast, unless it's a serial, you need to know that information to get caught up. I would recommend just starting in the most recent season. If you were to be interested in the San Carlos Computer Club, I guarantee if you went back to the very first episode of our recorded podcasts, you wouldn't last more than 5 minutes before, no, that's not what I'm listening to. Listen to Chester before his most recent operation. So those are my recommendations. I hope you guys find them useful. And I'll put links to all this stuff on today's meeting. Have we got some others we want to put out there? Anybody else watching? You know, recommendations aren't just for TV and movies. They're websites, apps, books, or podcasts, anything you're reading, watching, a website you found useful that you think that we would find useful, an app that you might have installed recently that you're finding helpful.
Well, there's two series that I like. One was The Good Place. Probably a lot of you have seen that one.
What was the name of it?
The Good Place.
I think this one has ended now, hasn't it? It's ended on a real high note.
Yeah, I think so. And then the other one was Barry, Barry. And it's kind of a humorous, sick show, because Barry is a guy that was a sniper in the military, and now he's a paid assassin. But he doesn't want to be. He's a reluctant paid assassin. And he wants to be an actor, so he goes to this playhouse lessons led by Henry Winkler, it's pretty funny, Barry, and it was on HBO.
People have talked to me about Barry, but I have not watched it yet. I didn't realize Henry Winkler was in it.
Yeah, I think it's only two or three years.
Well, that was one I wanted to watch yesterday. And I ran into trouble, and it was about Abraham Lincoln, called something. Apart We Stand, something like that. But when I started watching it, I discovered that it was produced by CNN, and they will not let you fast forward through the ads.
Oh. Well, I know this series you're talking about. Well, I think Mom was recommending that a few weeks ago.
Well, it's interesting, the early years of Lincoln, but I can't stand these ads.
You're spoiled.
You're preaching to the choir. Yeah, none of us can stand these ads.
It helps if you just mute it.
Well,
it's a good time to take a bathroom break when the ads come on. Hey, I've got another. Have we got any other recommendations? I've got one more light topic before we start winding this down that I thought you guys would find fascinating. Where'd it go? It was right in front of me. Here we go. YouTube TV has been dropped from Roku. I'm actually mentioning this as a PSA. If you're using YouTube TV on your Roku device right now, absolutely do not delete this application. It will continue to work on your Roku, but it has been pulled from the Roku channel store. And right now it's indefinite. They haven't come to a conclusion. They haven't resolved this issue. Roku's been doing this recently. They recognize that their power in the market allows them to dictate certain terms from streaming providers, and they're not happy with what YouTube is offering them, and so they're in negotiations. This is the internet equivalent of those carrier negotiations when you have a cable company and you've bought a package and all of a sudden one of your favorite channels is taken off the air. And there's a drive by Comcast going, you should get a hold of the Sci-Fi Channel and tell them how upset you are about us having to turn it off. This is your internet equivalent of that. So I have full confidence that YouTube TV will be back on Roku fairly soon. But right now, Roku's trying to suck them for whatever. They wait, either more money or better terms. They have a letter out that describes that Google is taking too much information and they want to be a monopoly and they want to force Roku to accept whatever Google's, and they won't have it. They won't be forced into that position. And so they've taken YouTube TV off of the Roku. This isn't the YouTube app. This is the TV service that we've talked about in the past. This is that service that allows you to stream hundreds of TV channels that would be available in your local area if you were using a cable provider or a satellite provider or you're using HDTV. Google has had this YouTube TV service available, and it's actually been fairly expensive, but really reliable. And the people that use YouTube TV are very happy with it. And I don't know if any of you are using it, but I've had at least one customer in my world recently that's been fairly dependent on this and ironically is using it on a Roku device. So my advice to them and to you is do not delete this app if you're using it because we don't know when it's coming back to the Roku.
Okay. YouTube is owned by AT&T and AT&T is rumored to be trying to get out of the media business.
Wait. Chester, YouTube is owned by Google.
I think it's AT&T.
No. YouTube is owned by Google. It's a Google services company. It's under Alphabet. Is it possible that you're I don't know who owns Roku. I think it's its own platform.
I'm sorry. I don't mean YouTube. I mean HBO.
That's okay.
I misspoke.
We should just call HBO AT&T to keep it in perspective. Yeah. Your long-distance carrier is making creative decisions on your favorite shows. Anyway, I thought you'd find that interesting. If you've got a Roku and you use this service, don't delete it. It'll still continue to work. That's the nutshell for this PSA. Don't delete your YouTube TV app on your Roku. It'll continue to work, and eventually it'll be back in the channel store. And that is the end of my topics. Next. And we are getting close to the end of this meeting. Is there anything else that we need to make sure gets out on this Tuesday morning? Everybody slow down. Can't all talk at once.
Scott, I was advised that Loma Del Mar is going to get fiber optics. So we're to the east of you and to the west of you, but your block is going to be the last one in San Carlos.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm not sure who's advising you, but I'm assuming that it's a lie about Loma Del Mar until it's a vetted source.
Well, it was Ricardo who's our outside manager.
Okay. All right. Well, it would be cool, but they haven't figured out the responsibility of phone lines in your park at the moment. So, like, at the moment, Telmex doesn't actually claim responsibility in your park, do they? In fact, what's a pretty standard Loma Del Mar issue is you have problems with a phone line and they trace it up to your box, your phone box that they are responsible for. And then you run out there and you bother one of the installers. You give him some money and he traces the line to your house trying to figure out what's wrong with it and then tells you there's nothing he can do about it because it's a lousy installation.
Yeah, well, our staff is pretty good at ferreting out problems. my first phone line had four connections, and one of them was underwater when it rained. So,
right, right. That's the story I always remember from way back. Is anytime it rained or anytime the wind blew, Loma del Mar would lose its internet access. Also, another common Loma del Mar problem used to be everybody administrating their own phone lines. So you'd be there and your internet be working fine. A month later, your neighbor shows up and now your internet doesn't work because he's followed his line all the way up through the boxes to figure out why his line's not working. And he's bumped your line offline.
Yeah, well, the phone company used to bump us around. About 4 years ago, you come back and your landline didn't work, but your internet did, or vice versa.
I have not had real conversations with a Telmex tech in a number of months, but I know of no plan to install more fiber optics anywhere in San Carlos.
Okay, well, we can make a gentleman's bet on this.
Yeah, no, I'm just managing expectations. It's just, if it doesn't happen, you live in Mexico. And if it does happen, my God, I live in Mexico. Look, I got fiber optics finally.
Well, I've got to pay Juan for a year, so I guess it doesn't matter.
Right, yeah. Actually, recently I've been fairly happy with Juan's service. And this morning, even though the internet went down twice before we started, it's been up this whole time. It's patchy. That's the way I would describe it. Going out is patchy. Once in a while, it just doesn't go out, and then it does.
Well, you've had a couple of moments where you've been jerky in the video, and I don't know if it's your end or our end, but it seems when you're showing us other things.
Yeah, occasionally it's getting jerky.
Yeah.
Well, occasional is the key word. Hopefully it just stays occasional.
I had one thing that I thought, I remember now what it was I was going to tell you guys. Bill has his smart home apps going, and about noon, I guess it is, Alexa will tell him that it's time to take his certain fiber supplement. And then it plays Chug-a-Lug, Chug-a-Lug, if you know the song. So he has an excerpt that it plays. So anybody that needs reminders for pills or anything, you know, you can have it sing your song.
Hey, I don't know. It's the Chug-a-Lug that made me think of this. But did you guys see that Oktoberfest has been canceled in Germany?
Ooh.
Now, that's the second one, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see, I didn't realize this until I was reading it, but Oktoberfest goes mostly through September.
Yeah.
Until the first week in October. And that's quite a projection out to decide that it's safer not to have it. Well, because it's COVID. It's the second time that they're canceling it because of COVID.
Well, and that's with us in our situation. We have the Calgary Stampede, which is an international rodeo and farm fair and everything. And it was canceled last year. And they keep thinking that maybe they're going to have it. It's the first week of July. And they keep putting it off and putting it off, to be honest, that it's not safe.
Well,
that's one of the greatest shows I've ever seen.
Greatest show on earth.
Yeah. How many times have you been there, Chester?
Just once.
I went, I think, four times, you know, and I've never lived in Alberta, but I've always, you know, if I'm passing by, I don't like to miss it.
As a native Calgarian, my father would plan his two-week vacation for the 10 days that everybody else came to town. So we would be in town for the parade, which is on the Friday morning, and we would see all the dignitaries, old Queen Elizabeth, Prince, you know, all the different people in the parades. And we would go to the Stampede Grounds on the Friday, and that afternoon we would leave for 2 weeks because all the crazies were in town.
They were.
You must have had a pancake.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Hey, what's the name of this? I'm sorry, I don't know what it is.
The Calgary Stampede.
And I still don't know what it is.
Okay. It's called the Calgary Stampede, greatest show on earth.
And it's kind of like a state rodeo.
They bring a stage out. that is about the size of a big ship.
Yeah. And every night, like, there's chuck leg races, there's the rodeo and everything, but it's also the farm fair, agricultural fair. It was our annual, like, every shopping mall, every community had chuck wagon pancake breakfast every day for 10 days. It's the Western Heritage Celebration.
And every kid in town participates.
Yeah, I went into a bank. I went into a bank when I was there. And they had covered up the place where you used to sign your chits in the middle of the bank, you know, and they'd made it into a stage and there was a rock band on there.
Yeah, well, usually country western, but...
Well, maybe it was country and western.
Yeah, it'd have been country western.
There's fireworks every night that we'd all sit up on the one Scotchman Hill to watch what was going on. The Young Canadians are the band, the marching band, but there's also the singing. Like a lot of our...
oh, wow, look at all those cowboy hats.
Yeah, a white hat is the symbol for Calgary, and it's... It's amazing the things that happen with those 10 days.
Probably 300 or 400 people involved in the show.
Oh, the show alone, and it's young people, and it's where they get their start in the entertainment world. You know, there's acrobatics, there's dancers, there's singers, there's always a headliner in the show, and every night it'll be a different Canadian, you know, star that's on the stage. It's quite the thing. Oh, and then the other part of it is the native community. They set up an Indian village. That's what it's called, an Indian village, and they have their teepees and they do their dances. And yeah,
It sounds like what we would call a state fair, but on steroids.
That's exactly it.
And it's the opportunity for every drugstore cowboy in Miles to go out and buy a Western outfit and wear their cowboy boots on the outside of their blue jeans.
Yeah, and drink beer for morning coffee. I was on a city bus one time going through downtown, and this cowboy came running out onto the road and almost got hit by the bus. But the bus driver stopped and opened the door, if you give him a ride, you know. And the guy says, "Are you going to the Stampede Grounds?" And the bus driver said, "Yes." And so he steps up onto the thing and he looks at all the people and he says, "Have a good time down there," and got off the bus. So it was just...
Well, the joke that we all, well, the thing we say every morning is, knock, knock. Who's there? Howdy.
Howdy who?
We're having fun now.
Howdy who, we're having fun now.
Well, I got to say, that doesn't sound like the kind... I'm not a big state fair kind of guy. I don't know if you've noticed, I'm not much of a cowboy either.
Well, it's a show.
It's a show, and I went there one time, and the theme was Arts Alive. And they had people making Persian rugs. They had set up kilns, and all the kids could go there and model something.
Oh, okay.
And then they'd fire it, and then the next day, if the kids went down, they could decorate the same piece. Or if pieces were left there for a couple of days, then kids who hadn't made one could decorate one that had been left unclaimed. It's a great show. It's more than just cowboys and chuck wagons, you know.
It is a lot more than that. And it also, like, it's their celebration from the early days. It's been going on for many, many years, 125 or something like that. And so it's a competition of rodeo skills. But I loved the lumberjack contests where they, you know, they did the log rolling and they did all this stuff. Or the dog shows, you know, these agility things. And, like, there's always something going on. You could go to a different themed show. Like, you have to plan out your route. It's like going to an expo, a world expo. And, you know, this day you're going to do these five things. And then you're going to go to the barns on this day. And it's crazy.
Wow, yeah. I understand. That's wild. I've never been aware of it. And I'm looking at the website here, and it's just full of stuff. It does remind me of a state fair. But that's cool. It's not like Jim says, not all cowboys and chuck wagon.
Well, Scott, do you drive down?
Scott,
say again?
Do you drive from Alaska down or do you fly?
I haven't since I was a kid. We fly all the time. Yeah, we use it. We've done that Alcan. I grew up doing the Alcan and the Cassiar between Seattle and we have family along the Northwest, Washington and Oregon and California. And so when I was a kid, I grew up in a camper van kicking around, going up and down that highway.
You could if you were planning a trip, you could go down through there at the right time, and it would be fun.
It looks like it's supposed to pop off in July, but there's no real information, which makes me think that we're still looking at, like, what you started this topic with. They're thinking maybe.
That's a hot spot for COVID right now.
Yeah. Oh.
So, yeah. Scott, there's two things that most Americans will ask you when you say you're from Canada. Number one is, you know George so-and-so from Toronto? That's the first question. Second question is, how close are you to the Calgary Stampede? Yeah. There's an enormous amount of Americans that know about the Calgary Stampede, and that's the one thing they do know.
They're summing you up if you're a good place to stay. Is that right? Say, how good of friends do I want to be with, Bill? Do you have a guest room?
and where we live now is, we're just east of Edmonton, and Edmonton is known for the biggest mall of the world, you know, West Edmonton Mall.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Amusement park and all that kind of stuff. So native Calgarian, Stampede, Edmonton, got to be the mall.
Well, another thing not to miss is Oshkosh.
I've heard of Oshkosh. That's an air show?
Yep.
Is that right?
It's a week long.
In what? In Nevada?
Ontario.
Wisconsin.
Oh, Wisconsin.
Yeah, Oshkosh isn't in Canada.
Oh, I thought it was east. Yeah.
No.
Wisconsin, I guess.
Okay, Green Bay.
No, I've had friends that have gone to Oshkosh and speak about it, highly praise it. In Alaska, it's not hard to find aviation enthusiasts.
Right.
So many people own planes there. Our pilots, our mechanics. And I've had more than one friend come back from the Oshkosh show. I'm not one of those guys, but I have friends that are those guys. They do an air show in Anchorage, and I'm having trouble remembering what it's for. 4th of July, maybe?
I know.
I don't remember the time period it's around, but the Blue Angels come out and do a thing, and they've got all kinds of play. It happens on the military base. There's a big show at the Anchorage military base. We've done it a few times.
And Oshkosh features warbirds.
Warbirds?
World War II birds.
But they do fly of stunts, and they call in people that,
well, they have a real
barnstormers.
Well, they have a Pearl Harbor attack. You know, they all kinds of stuff going on.
Like a reenactment?
Yes, reenactments.
Oh wow, I didn't realize that was.
Do they have Japanese planes?
Yes, they do.
Wow.
Oh yeah, sure they do. Or
well, they're modified.
What do they drop? Like jelly beans?
Well, they don't drop, but they have explosions on the ground
stimulating
a drop.
Oh, that sounds like a really interesting.
Yeah, but it's really difficult to get that damn battleship into the lake. Scott, Alaska is also famous in the aviation world for their stall competitions, short takeoff and landing competition. I forget what place it is they have it. They have it every year.
I was going to say it's everywhere. It's every time they go to takeoff and land.
No, but this is their competition. They have a real competition. And I think the record now is just something astounding. It's like 15, 20 feet to get airborne and 6 feet to get landed. If you ever want to watch some videos for a while, just Google STOL, and it'll pop. And the Alaska competition is there.
Well, I have an hour video of Oshkosh, and I also have an hour video of the Calgary Stampede.
There you go.
Great. Well, you don't have to drive.
Very cool.
We've got at our little airport here in Qualicum Beach, we're at a town of 8,000 people, so it's not a big airport, But there's a Harvard, a trainer from World War II that's out there, and they bring it out on occasions and fly it low over town. It's quite a bird.
Hey, on a completely different topic, and because I do need to wind down this meeting, but I've noticed something new in our Google Meet that I haven't seen before. It's along the top. There is an activities button. Do you see that? Hey, have you guys noticed this before? I haven't noticed this before.
No, it's
under activities, it has one activity called whiteboarding, collaborative brainstorming and sketching ideas. I want to start this to see what it is while you guys are here. And just see what we've got going. Start a new whiteboard. Looks like the whiteboards get stored in a Google Drive. So I'm starting it now. It says creating jam in typical Google, in Google Speak. They're using different language everywhere. Some people need access to the file. It's giving me a list of our members. Turn link sharing on. That means anybody with a link can be part of it. Share with 29 people. This won't fix all access issues. I'm just going to hit the default send. I'm not going to change anything. I'm just going to send. And I should be opening up a whiteboard. Oh, that you guys can't see because it's separate from the window we're in. Let me stick that on a different screen. But I think you guys should also be looking at a whiteboard.
Not yet.
Maybe this is what my whiteboard looks like. Come up separate. I've shared it with you guys. Maybe you're looking for
if I go to that activities things and I click on the San Carlos Computer Club, I have a whiteboard. Are you doing anything on the whiteboard?
I'm showing on my screen, but I'm thinking you would see it on your whiteboard, not on your screen. I'm showing it on my screen.
You see it?
So you should be able to contribute from your end. You should be able to put something on the whiteboard. Who do we have here? Anonymous Chameleon, Anonymous Coyote. Oh, there you go.
Who's doing that?
I did that.
Oh, yeah? What did you do?
I clicked on the side where it says insert, add image, and then I went to my camera and I took a picture of myself and I put it on the whiteboard. So Scott's done all kind of scribbles.
Yeah. Has anybody else got their whiteboard open? Are you able to do anything else?
Anonymous Coyote and Anonymous Iguana.
I did the scribbles on the left corner.
Over here? Under activity, I opened up this. Maybe you don't have it. Meeting details?
No, I don't have it.
Up here, this little guy?
I don't think so.
Oh, maybe it's only on Google.
On Google Chrome. Well, actually, I'm doing it through Microsoft Edge, which is actually Chrome, but it's Edge. So at the very least, that's working.
Or James shared something, but it came on a different thing.
Yeah, I tried to open the one that you guys are on, but couldn't do it.
It didn't let you?
No, it didn't. Well, it didn't let me. Something came up, but it wasn't the one you were on.
But it added to the chat.
Oh.
So I clicked on it, but then on it.
Added the most recent Computer Club logo I've been using.
Oh, great one. Is that your old Mac?
It's not my old Mac. It's a stock Apple II.
Oh, yeah.
That's an Apple II.
Yeah. It's an old Apple II with a monochrome monitor. What's that color called? I've forgotten.
Is it that you own it?
Do I own what?
Do you own the computer?
The computer?
Just a photo.
It's just a photo from it's a stock photo from the internet.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a copyrights free photo that I decided to use for our logo. I put a sombrero on it, which I'm still waiting to find out if that's racist or not.
Who do you ask?
Well, apparently I ask my kids because I'm no longer a good judge of what's racist and what's not. Yeah. I'm a fairly liberal-minded person, but I find myself facing a 13-year-old and a 15-year-old that are just always schooling me on what's appropriate these days.
Yeah, I know I get that all the time from people around here because I talk about the houses that they're building that are a social program for, and I say houses for poor people, and they say, no, they're affordable housing, Jim. They're affordable housing, not houses for poor people.
That's right. They're houses for the rest of us, but not poor people. Okay, I see what's going on. Yeah, somebody created another one, and they've shown up here under whiteboard.
That was me. How do I get rid of it?
I think you'd have to delete it because it's actually a file that is stored in your Google Drive and you have shared it with the people in this group.
Oh my.
So for it to not be an option, I think you'd have to actually delete it from your Google Drive.
That might be
more.
I'm going to go back to activities, how I got in there. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh, okay. But there's no,
under the chat. Go to
that. Did that take it out of there?
No, you're on activities. It just says whiteboarding. Go back to the chat right beside it. And you see Bill Thompson's San Carlos Computer Club. And then it's yours.
I don't see Bill's.
No, I don't see it.
No, Bill's link is up above.
Not where I'm low.
Yeah, I don't see it.
Oh, no, you guys have a different thing. My whiteboarding is just by itself, like you have on the top there. And I don't have those two underneath it. But if I go to the chat.
Oh, I see built.
The chat. Okay.
I shared a jam file with the meeting, and there's Scott's. And then I shared a jam file with the meeting, Carolyn's or James.
Yeah.
And.
I shared a jam file with. Oh, okay.
I shared a jam file with the meeting. Yeah. So if I click on that and then cancel it?
No. Again, this file that you shared, you created it on the fly, Jim, and it was stored in your Google Docs, if I'm correct about this.
Well, I wouldn't
know. I'm going to go over here. Here I am in my browser. I'm signed into my account. I'm going to go to apps, and I'm going to go to my Google Drive. Are you following me? Are you able to see what I'm doing?
No. I just get a black screen right now.
Oh, let me present it. Isn't this? So I've opened a Chrome window. That's what we're looking at right now. This is a Chrome window. I'm signed in with the Computer Club's account.
Yeah.
And I'm going into apps, and I'm going to click on Drive, Google Drive.
Yeah.
And so I expect to find that whiteboard that I was just working on right here. We're just waiting to see it appear. I think it's going to be like one of the first ones with quick access.
So that's your Google Drive on your computer?
No, this is in the cloud.
This is in the cloud. So you go to Google Drive.
Yeah, drive.google.com. I brought it up from this open tab, this blank tab where you see this matrix of dots. This is the Google Apps.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like the start menu in Windows, or it's the launch pad on a Macintosh.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't find Drive under it. I find Search, Maps, Play, News.
Scroll through it because you can actually set the order. My order may be different than your order.
Okay, so quick.
So then here's the one that we created. Here's the one that Jim created.
Yeah,
it's in my quick access because it's been shared with me.
And I have three in mine. San Carlos Computer Club, you created today, the meeting Carolyn shared, and the one that I put my picture on. So
that's
how do I get rid of them?
So if you click with the right mouse button on the name, just choose remove.
Move to share, open with, rename. Oh, way down there. I found the garbage can.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, Jim, if you didn't want to continue to share that document, you could just remove it. Or you could get even deeper into it, and you could change the sharing settings. You could choose to remove people from the permissions of looking at that document, or you could just turn off sharing altogether.
So does this mean that everything I do on this computer now is going to be shared with all you guys?
No, not at all. Because
it's Carolyn's computer.
No, nothing on the computer is being shared.
Okay.
You're using the computer as a window into services with Google, and this is one of those services. I'm I'm giving you all this eye contact, and I'm not even on screen.
Yeah.
But yeah, what you've done is you've shared this particular item, okay. And every item in this drive can have its own sharing settings, and you shared it using that whiteboard option that we just found that's just been made available in Google Meet.
Okay, but well, I guess it shouldn't be any harm to just leave it there then.
Yeah, or you could, yeah, it's not hurting anything. The only people you shared that one item with is us in the first place. So we're
Is your Google Drive, the Google Drive that we're talking about, is it a cap on it? How much you can put in there? Is it...
Yes, I think you. Oh, in fact, it shows when you're in Drive here. Let me go back to this window.
Yeah,
you have a storage option down the column on the left, and it shows you how much space you've used out of how much is available.
See, I've got 10.4 gig of 15 gig used, and I need to clean it up because some of it is repeats of things. Because I was trying to figure out what it was, I need to clean up my G Drive.
Not according to Google. You just need to buy storage.
Well, yeah, right.
What would you clean it up for? You can just buy more storage. Look, there's a link right here. There's a button. Buy more storage.
Yeah, money bags. I have other things to do with my money.
That's a whole lot easier than cleaning up the archive.
I need to clean up my iDrive on my phone and my iPad and my G Drive and try to get it all sorted because I have things in Google Photo that I thought were in the Google Drive, and then it's a mess.
Now, Bill can hear this.
Oh, Bill has his own issues.
I know, but he might have a talk about your not doing it. Buy the more cloud. I'm not doing it.
Hey guys, I hate to do this. It's 12 where I'm at, and we have got to call this to an end.
All right.
So I really appreciate y'all showing up, and I will be here next week. I hope you can make it next week. Every Tuesday at 10, we do this meeting. We do a check-in with ourselves. We bring our tech topics. We recommend movies. I write everything up into a blog post that if you are wanting to keep track of this conversation, you can check out later this week. It'll have links to the things we've talked about, as well as a jigsaw puzzle. I'm still doing that. And a podcast if you wanted an audio version of our meeting, which typically includes a lot more audio than our YouTube meetings. And an intro that I typically do with my daughter or my family introducing the podcast. So if you're interested in any of that kind of stuff, check out the website at sccclub.org. And like I said at the top of the hour, if you're looking for computer help, check me out, scott@internationalcs.net. If you're looking for remote help, I got another email, remote@internationalcs.net. I'm here for, I'll even hold your hand as you're trying to do something new. Bill, I'll be on this end, holding your hand as you're trying to get Home Assist working for yourself. Until next week, you guys have an awesome time, and we'll talk on Tuesday. Tech on.
May the fourth be with you.
May the force be with you.
Au revoir.
Bye-bye. Adios. Adios, Paul.